How weird is this? I haven't taught in so long. It's so weird. We did women's fellowship at Janet Donovan's for years and years. And when my kids were growing up, we did a women's fellowship here at the house. But for the past year, I haven't taught at all. So it's kind of like the juices are flowing a little because I'm not used to it. It's crazy. So anyway, I've been reading Nehemiah, which, go figure, did you ever read the book of Nehemiah? He was the coolest guy. And so I started reading it one day and I was like, wow. And then I read it again, I read it again. And this guy, what a great heart for God he had, and what a great heart of service he had to God and his people. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're just pretty much going to read, you know. Okay. So this is how it feels to sit up here, huh? Okay. The words of Nehemiah, verse 1, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chishlu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Now, Nehemiah, he is in the palace. He is the king's cupbearer. And to give you a little background, he was taken from Jerusalem into captivity, as was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys. And so he was pretty much raised here in this palace. And he was the king's cupbearer, which was, you know, you think, wow, what a cush job.
Yeah.
I mean, because who was more trusted than him? Because he had to, you know, taste the wine and the food before the king did. And so he must have really loved him and trusted him. And so what a cush job. You know, he probably had all the girls he wanted. He had the best clothes. You know, he lived in a palace, for gosh sakes, you know, a huge mansion. He probably didn't have a care in the world. Verse 2, it says, then Hanani, or however you say it, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there and the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So, God told his people, he told Israel, he said, look, if you don't turn back to me, if you don't do my word, you know, you're gonna be screwed. You know, you're gonna be scattered abroad. And so that's exactly what happened. Because, you know, like so many of the prophets, like Jeremiah, he was called the crying prophet. He's begging them, imploring them, you know, do God's word, turn back to God, because it doesn't matter what you did, because if you turn back, then, you know, everything will be okay. But they never listened. So what happened? Nebuchadnezzar went in, he captured them and took them away to Babylon. Is that right, Sid? Okay, good. So, don't think I knew that on my own. But there was a remnant left in Jerusalem. And these are the people that his brother's telling them. He says, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And why? And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? He gets this information. It says he wept. Like he had such great care and concern for these people. Why? It hurt his heart. See? And he could have just said, well, you know what? I'll pray for him. Okay, I'm sorry, but look, this is where I am now. You know, they've got their issues, but this is where I am. You know, this is my life now. But he didn't. And you just see his heart. He prays. He starts his prayer in verse 5. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. He prayed for these people day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. He includes himself. But see the great concern and heart he has? We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. See, so God told them this was going to happen. But, the next word is but in verse 9. See, because down in verse 6, it says, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Oh, wait, verse 5. That keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him. See, God's mercy, no matter what we do, no matter, you can't ever do something so bad that God won't say, but. You know, I have that on my refrigerator, it says, but God. Because no matter what situation you're in, God always has an answer. Mercy is not God just turning the other way and saying, okay, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Like, you know, we used to use that analogy of, you know, getting a ticket and not getting fined for, you know, you'd go before the judge and the judge would let you go. It's not, you know, even though you ran a stop sign, but it's God rescuing us, saying, okay, this is what happened. Okay, you screwed up, you made a mistake. But God, now, it's like in Ephesians where God says, you know, how we were in darkness, you know, we didn't even care about him. But God, who was rich in mercy, he made us his sons because he loved us, you know. And mercy is such a wonderful thing. And this is the mercy that God is extending to them. He says in verse 9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there, which is Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where God wanted them. But, you know, he says, look, but you come back, you turn back to me, you know, you're going to get back there. Now, there's some things, you know, you look at Nehemiah and you see his heart here. He prays for these people. He goes to God and he prays day and night. He's a faithful man in prayer. And you know what he's doing? He's making intercession for these people. He's going to God on their behalf. He's getting out of his comfort zone. You know, here I am. Hey, I got it made in the shade. He gets out of himself and he has more concern for them than he does for himself. And when we pray for people and we have that kind of heart, we stand in the gap between the person and the adversary. That's what we do. You know, and it's just not like when we do a prayer request, but caring so much about other people that I care. You know, you care. I know you do. I know Sid and I have had a tough, you know, couple years. I know you guys were praying for us. I know it. There's not a doubt in my mind that my son's delivered because you guys prayed. Know it. We prayed for years for Jay, for this boss of his, Michael. And, you know, this guy's gone now. You know, guy was a thorn in his flesh. You know, he wasn't fair to him. And so Sid and I would pray in the morning. We'd always pray for that specifically. And to hear that guy left was like, wow, we had part in that. It's an exciting thing to give and serve in the body of Christ that way. To make intercession to God on people's behalf, on one another's behalf. Okay. Where were we? Okay, verse 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people who thou hast redeemed by the great power, by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, now he needs help. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear, respect thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant his mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So he's talking, he's asking God to help him, because now he's going to go before the king. And, you know, it's a big deal to go in the king's presence. You just don't, like, show up. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 1. He's going before the king now. And it says it came to pass. Now, this is 4 or 5 months later. He has been faithful in prayer. And he had to have patience. You know, sometimes we pray for something and it doesn't happen right away. And we're like, God, where are you? 4 or 5 months he was faithful in prayer. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. You didn't do that. You went before the king. You're always happy, and you know, you just didn't want to piss him off. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? There's nothing else but sorrow in thy heart. There's nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid, because he knew, you know, the king cut your head off or something like that. You just didn't do it. And said unto the king, verse 3, let the king live forever. Okay, let's butter him up. Let's say something cool. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So he had his whole list all typed up. He's going to tell him. No. What does it say? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He went to God. He went right to God. What do I say? Okay. These people need help. I prayed to you. Now I'm before the king. What do I say? Verse 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I might build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how sweet. And how long shall thy journey be? And wilt thou return? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, not only do I need a vacation here, moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And not only that, a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Look at that. Not only did he say, sure, you can go, but he gave him all the things that he needed to build the wall and the gate. You know, it's like, okay, go ahead and go, and I'm going to give you everything you need. And he says, according, the king gave it to me, but according to the good hand of my God upon me. You know, he was a labor together with God. We are. You know, God's got nobody but us. That's all God has, is us. You know, if we don't help one another, you know, and it's such a great honor to help and serve. And people will say, oh, well, yeah, but I don't, you know, what can I possibly do? God, turn to Philippians. We'll do that. Of course, we got to go to Philippians. Where are you? Philippians 2, 13. Hold your place. We're going to go back there, of course. It says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will work in you. We have to will to do his good pleasure. He's good. Okay, if we're all he has, then he wants to work in us to help each other, to serve in the body of Christ. You know, it's so fun. Richard just twice a year will call me on like a Friday and say, I'm coming to do your windows tomorrow. I never asked him. He just shows up. How thankful I am for that. You know why? Because you guys come here. We have people here 3 times a week. And I work really hard to make our home clean. And, you know, this is where the word's presented. That's the way I look at it. So how wonderful, you know. But when he comes, I just don't, you know, send him out there. Okay, get up on the ladder, do your job. No, I pray for him when he's up on that ladder. And when he's done, I make him lunch. I do. It's like, okay, You know, I care. I'm so thankful that he does that. You know, God's going to work in you. You know, don't think that, you know, what can I possibly do? See, because not only did he pray, but you'll see that he goes and he extends himself in service. You know, he just didn't say, okay, I got all these building materials, you know, I'm going to give to you, and now you go and do the work. You'll see that he has that heart to serve and give. He works right alongside them. Okay, let's go back. Where was I? Okay, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river. Sorry. And gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the armies and horsemen with me. And just when you think everything's going great, dun, da, 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 but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceeding that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. You know, there's always going to be that guy, you know. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Okay, whose idea was this from the beginning? God's, see? But he had to have somebody with a willing heart to serve and to obey. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast I rode on. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, unto the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went in or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. You know, it's all about God. It was all about God. It's not like I had this great idea and I went to the king, you know, and this is what I did. It's not about us. It's all about God. And they said, it was God that was getting the glory for this. And they said, let us rise and build, so that they strengthened their hands for this good work. But, dun, 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 when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and another guy now, Geshem the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build, but you're not going to have any portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. And so they start building the temple. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble do, Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Oh, wait, look. How are they going to build this wall and put the gate back up? All they have is, you know, this stuff that was knocked down. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him and said, even that which they build of, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Because, you know, they don't have really good materials. They're going to put it up. I mean, even a fox, if he went up there, would knock it down. So Nehemiah, does he get discouraged? No. Verse 4, he says, he prays again, hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and not let their sin be blotted out from before thee. for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. So it's half built. But it came to pass when Sanballat again, and Tobiah and the Arabians, and now the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So here, you know, it seemed like, you know, the plan, God's plan was with them. You know, Nehemiah was very confident, and the people are building the wall, and then they have all these guys that come together and they want to destroy their work. But he prayed. In verse 9 it says, nevertheless, no matter what that situation looked like, you know, he says, nevertheless, we made prayer unto our God. And that's really, you know, when I read this, I thought, wow, a heart for God he had. You know, anything that came up, these were huge things. You know, this is a whole nation, you know. These people were scattered abroad. You know, Jerusalem, the wall was broken down. The gate was burned with fire. You know, God's temple was in Jerusalem. He wanted his people back. You know, this was a huge responsibility he had, you know. And so every step, no matter what came up, whatever obstacle came up, he went to God. He had such a good relationship with God. And do you know what's just another lesson for us? It's like when you have a relationship with God like that, when you get in the habit of going to God when things happen, that, you know, when you start with the little things, when the big things come, it's like you are already used to going to God. You have such confidence in him. You know, that's what we used to call building your believing. You know, you have confidence in God. The more you go to him for something and you see, okay, God, you took care of that. Well, then something else comes up. It's like so much easier to believe him. You know, so when something big happens, it's like, okay, God, big or small, how many times we hear that in manifestations? You'll handle it. Okay, and that's that. He just had a lifestyle of believing. Okay, so nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And so all we have is this rubbish. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither shall see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause all of this work to cease. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall. Now how did he know to do this? And on the higher places, even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked up and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. See, he reminds them, whose thing is this? It's God that's going to fight for you. Are you going to be afraid now of these people that want to stop our work and destroy us? Be not afraid of them. And we hear that in manifestations all the time, don't we? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm your Father. I will fight for you. I'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I'll supply your need. All the things that we hear all the time from God. Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. God's going to fight for you. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. See, it's God that fights for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the whatever, and the rulers behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had sword girded by his side, and so build it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So, you know, half the people were watching out with their spears and swords, and the other half were building the wall. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one of his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. They were dedicated and committed to doing this. You know, they were laborers together with God. And what a great example Nehemiah was to them. In verse 19, it says, he says, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Five, verse 19. So think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He had such a heart. You know, he got out of his comfort zone. And you know, sometimes, you know, when we have need, the greatest thing you can do is give. Give. Paul gave, he gave so much of his life in, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. He had such a heart for God's people. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. What a heart he had. He always encouraged, he always blessed, he always prayed. He says, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, you can be sure who he was speaking in tongues for. You know, he had that heart. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. See, Nehemiah could God could only work if a man was willing. He had a willing heart. He heard there was a need, and he said, how can I help? How can I help? Do we get so wrapped up in ourselves and our own concerns, our own needs, our own problems, that we can't see the need of others? You know, and it's not, he just didn't pray for them. He went to work. He helped. He served. And God will help us to see the needs of others. You know, I was so thrilled this morning, because today's Father's Day, and Kip lost his dad. This is his first Father's Day without him. And God reminded me of that. I was so thrilled. I was like, you know, when I prayed for him, it's like, and I know other people, I'm sure, did too. But it was just so thrilling to me that God let me know of that need. You know, because I know today's probably difficult for him. Because, you know, Jean Marie, we've been there. You know, some of us have been there. And we know what it feels like to lose a parent. And, you know, today being Father's Day, I was like, thanks, God. Thanks. See, he'll work in you if you let him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what did he do? He was the greatest servant of all, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, he loved God and he loved us. He stood in the gap for us, right? Yep. I mean, what heart he had, you know, to the end that he gave his life. That was what a great example. And look what God did for him, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear, respect, and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when you do his good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. God only has us, and we have such great examples in the Word, you know, to see this, you know, of men who loved God, prayed for his people, and served him with such joy. Let's close in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we need to be prayer warriors. It's a spiritual battle. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, and we stand in the gap between the person and the adversary, and we all need it at times, sometimes more than others. Sometimes we have big physical needs. You know, what a great thing that Alex put that, you know, on, you know, the internet, that we could go, his heart is to be healed, and that we can all be there with him. And when that deliverance comes, that we could all rejoice together, that we know we had part in it. You know, because that's what it's going to take. It takes community believing for something like that to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, what an opportunity that we have. So great. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And we know there's certain burdens that we can only bear ourselves. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you give, you're going to get back. God says it's a principle in his word. For that he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be wearying in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, and God will, there's plenty of opportunity. All we have to do is keep our hearts and minds open and our eyes open. As we have their opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We give, we give, we give. The joy in life is in giving. The happiest people are the people who give. You know, and Nehemiah was such a great example of that. You know, so, you know, just cause, you know, we've got our, you know, our lives and we're busy. Who's not busy, right? Can anybody say, no, I'm not busy? Everybody's busy. We have houses and children and all kinds of things to take care of. But we can't be so consumed and have blinders on that we don't see the needs of others. You know, that we have to get out of ourselves. You know, we just don't. And prayer, what a wonderful thing. But also to have that heart to serve. And it's remember that it's God that's working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So that's all.